Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
All right, it's recording.
It's recording.
It is.
The video's recording too.
The video's recording too.
Look, and there's an empty seat here. Why?
Because Amber Minogue is about to arrive.
She's probably on a train or maybe walking on with her feet. That's how walking happens.
As opposed to walking with her knees.
Hands or knees? That would be crawling with her knees. I doubt that she's crawling here, to be honest. She knows how to use her feet. So anyway, welcome video viewers and welcome audio listeners.
Do you have more people watching than listening?
No.
You have more people listening?
Many more people listening.
Even now with your... Because your YouTube is taken off.
Ish.
I mean, it's not ish. It's fucking going really well.
Some videos are doing much better than others. It depends on the type of content that I upload.
This is true. But your subscriber count has gone crazy.
The subscriber count has improved.
Did you get your for those of you watching, those of you listening, sorry, behind me, I have the two little YouTube 100,000 subscriber things from this, one of my main channels, and the other initial channel, What the Fuck France.
Yeah, I got my YouTube shiny thing.
You did. I don't even know why I asked you that. You did like a live.
Yeah, but then, you know, I did a live, hey, this is it. And then I put it back in its box and I was like, I'll put that up on the wall, and then just didn't. But that, the, I was so proud to receive it. And I was like, I will just, you know, people might be thinking, where's your YouTube shiny thing, Luke? It's still in its box. You know, when I put it in the box at the end of that video, it's still there.
You'll set it up in your new pod.
Exactly.
Place.
Pod room. I haven't decided.
Pod, sky pods, pods, pod cave, pod.
Podcastle.
A podcastle. Shit. That's good. Although I'm pretty sure it's already been taken by somebody.
Maybe, but I sometimes will call my current place the podcastle because it feels a bit like again, I'm above. Up at the top, but I don't have a view. I just sort of see some of the rooftops and chimney tops.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like if you're on the top of a castle, like in the tower of a castle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sort of like that. And you see some of the ramparts of the castle. I don't know.
Would you care to explain to the people who are watching?
Yes.
Why it looks so good? I know you wanted to make sure because you were like, well, it's going to be a bit weird because the video is suddenly going to look amazing.
Yeah, because the viewers might think, oh my God, why, how come this looks so much better than normal? Because normally viewers, I have a webcam on the top of this laptop, and the laptop sits on a glass desk with very wobbly legs. And so I talk and then I do this and the whole thing goes like that. It's like an earthquake.
Yeah, my camera is, well, it's not attached to the floor, but it's attached to the light stand. Those of you watching this, now that we're talking about the visual aspects, those who are just listening should probably go watch the YouTube. But yeah, I have a light that is lighting us currently that is behind the camera, and the camera is attached to that. So it doesn't move if we shake the table.
Which is, you know, this is how it should be
done. If we bang the floor, it does. So you'll see it. See?
A little bit, yeah. I see that.
And if you see us looking over to the side, it's because I have a computer that's showing what we can see.
So if we're looking over here, that means that we're looking at ourselves. And if I'm looking here, I'm looking at you.
Correct.
And if I look at here, then I'm looking at you, Paul. And if I look here, then I'm looking at the ghost of, the absence of Amber Minogue. that was close.
Did you almost knock it?
I knocked it and grabbed it and saved it.
Mate.
This is probably a good point to say that we aren't drinking beer, but I'm on the 0%. Because I'm not drinking beer at the moment, except that I am drinking beer, but there's no alcohol in
this one. Do you reckon it's, presumably it's better.
It, what?
Because what else is in the non-alcoholic beer makes it taste, is there sugar in it? Because if there's sugar in it, then
I don't know.
It's like the same as alcohol, basically.
So, well, there's several reasons for my not drinking beer recently, and one of them is that I just wanted to cut alcohol out of my diet because, you know, health reasons and all that sort of thing. And the other reason is because drinking beer every day means that you do put on weight. It's got calories in it, but also it's the yeast in it too, I think, that does something to your gut.
Okay.
Which is why you get the beer belly, why beer drinkers get that beer belly, especially real ale drinkers.
Like me. I just hide it in a black t-shirt. Those of you who are watching this, ladies and gentlemen, now you have to watch the YouTube. You can see my proper, if I turn to the side, hold on, and I stick my belly properly out. Wait. Hold on, I've got to have that.
You're doing all right. Video viewers, audio listeners, Paul is standing up showing off his beer belly, but
it's not quite showing off,
maybe demonstrating or.
Yeah, because showing off sounds like it's a positive thing. Yeah, I'm showing off my new car.
Yes, you wouldn't show off your beer belly because you're not proud of it.
Show
something off that you're proud of. So maybe presenting
my beer belly.
Your beer belly.
Showing.
Without the off part, just showing your beer belly to the audience of viewers. So yes, the reason it looks so good here, if you're watching the video, and it may sound amazing too, because Paul's got a decent audio setup as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as good as yours, the audio, because my main thing that I do is video, so I want it to sound good as well, but it probably doesn't sound as amazing as it could if it was just an audio podcast.
Yeah, because I tend to focus most of my attention on the audio, although these days I have been getting more and more distracted by video, but hopefully I've managed to maintain the general standards of the audio as well. But yes, we're in Paul's studio, which is where he does his live YouTube live stream every week, and Amber's on her way. I've said that already, haven't I? She's coming, and I hope she doesn't mind that we're going to be filming already when she arrives.
No, she on my way. Me too. Nearly there. 15 minutes.
15 minutes. She says.
So if you need to start. ...
Okay.
We did start.
We've already started.
Hi, Amber.
So this is where Paul records his stuff. He's got lights. He's got proper equipment. It's all set up. He's got space. So this is why it looks so fantastic. I was going to say, Paul, what's the situation? But I think that we've done that, haven't we?
Yeah, we are at my studio, which is not really my studio. It's what do you call this? The attic of my producer, the woman who helps produce my stand-up show. It's called Fanny, and she...
That's the woman, not the stand-up show isn't called Fanny.
The stand-up show is not called Fanny. The woman is called Fanny. She's a producer, and she has 5-6 employees that work in the office just below me. But this was kind of like the space where all of the extra accessories for the other people that she produces are. So their stuff on stage, like their costumes or whatever, if not costumes, but like their stage clothes, accessories and that kind of stuff. So it was just like an empty space. And because I was doing my lives from home initially during the pandemic, I thought that it would be a good idea to leave the house because I was annoying my wife and baby. So I asked if this space was empty, and I painted the walls with the help of one of her employees, and set it up to do my lives from here.
Well, it looks fantastic, and it's very comfortable, audience. I don't know if that's does that help the viewing experience? Anyway, now I think probably the title of this video, we've got to get to the actual content, right?
Yeah, let's
especially
go.
On YouTube. I think the title of this video will be something like Russian Citizenship Test with Paul Taylor. Right, now let me explain. I need to kind of get into my computer here.
This is going
to
be amazing.
No idea how this is going to go. Now the reason that we're doing this, we're going to do a sort of Russian citizenship test.
Okay.
So let me explain. I think that maybe the best way to explain this would be to use to just read this message from Vadim, who is a listener of my podcast. So
I feel like I've heard his name before.
It's possible.
On previous podcasts that I've been on, I feel like you've read stuff out from him.
It's quite possible. There may be other people called Vadim in Russia who listen to this podcast, but no. But as you'll see / hear, Vadim has been in touch before.
Okay.
So yes, you may well be right.
Right.
So this is the message from Vadim, which I got a while ago. It's been a while that this has been sitting in my Google Drive for a long time, waiting. Going, when are you going to do me? Well, now. So. This is Vadim's voice. Hi, Luke. This is Vadim, one of... Let me start that again. Hi, Luke. This is Vadim, the one who proposed the idea of the Wispolep competition. How are you? I hope you're doing great. I am doing great. Thank you very much, Vadim. I have something for you. I know that among your audience, there is a large number of Russian listeners. And I wondered, how much do you know about Russia yourself? Not very much, as we will see.
I think the same boat as you.
So I decided to create a funny Russian citizenship test, especially for you. Now, this has been sitting in my Google Drive for a long time, so you might say that I haven't been Russian to do this test.
Hey!
Thank you very
Russian
much.
Russian joke. Here we go.
I had to do it. That's done. Now we can move on. So, Vadim continues. You can find the attached PDF file with questions and answers to them as well. So there will be answers. That's good. You can use it at your own discretion. You can go through it yourself. You can try it with friends. Or you can just ignore this message and live a calm life.
Oh, Vadim, that's very nice of you.
So I chose not to live a calm life, apparently.
Because there's a lot of people that probably write to you as they write to me, like, incessantly. They just don't stop writing. Yeah. And they don't offer the chance of being like, if you don't want to read this... Don't worry about it. Yeah. Enjoy your calm life. They're just like, why have you not replied yet?
Yeah. Quite a lot of insistent and demanding messages. I mean, you know, I ask people to write to me. You know, I do say, don't be a ninja, you know, hiding and listening in the shadows. Yeah. Do get in touch. But then people sort of, I don't know, I don't mind, but it's difficult sometimes to respond to all of the requests. And even something which I think is good, really good like this, and Vadim's spent a lot of time preparing this, even something like that might sit for a while, and I'm thinking, oh, I've got to do that thing. You know the way it is.
Yeah.
It goes like this. If you still decide to take this test, be ready to answer 7 questions, the answers to which only Russian people know.
Right,
this is designed to make us look kind of stupid.
Well, and here's the ironic thing, is that a lot of citizenship tests, the people of those countries don't know the answers to those questions. So if you take a British citizenship test, a lot of British people don't know the answers to those questions.
Yeah.
The French citizenship test, a lot of French people don't know the questions. So maybe this is like more of a true citizen. Do you know, that's a good idea. It's like, here's the British citizenship test.
We've been through this. We've done. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, and then, like, here's what a real one would look like. Here's what you really need to know. Have we done this before?
Well, we've kind of touched on it
several
times. Right. We've done quite a lot of British citizenship tests, the two of us.
All right.
But we live busy lives. It's hard to keep track
Russian
of everything.
Russian citizenship test.
So,
I love it.
Be ready before you open this file, he says, sounding like Liam Neeson all of a sudden.
Be ready.
It's ready to use, and the information in it, by my count, is enough for you for an entire episode of your wonderful podcast. Thank you so much for your attention and for your incredible podcast that has helped many people improve their English, and for me personally to move to Canada. Congratulations, Vadim. You moved to Canada, which is a good move because it's a good place, isn't it, Canada?
It's a great place.
Yeah.
I love Canada.
Me too.
I mean... that's not true. I was going to say I don't know much of it, but that's not true. There's certain cities in Canada you go, it's not amazing.
Some places in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
for example.
People are great everywhere, but some of the cities don't look great, like Winnipeg.
Yeah, I've been to Winnipeg.
It's very brown. Why have you been to Winnipeg?
Oh, I did tangent time. I went traveling in Canada with my cousin in 1997. This is showing my age. We were like 19 years old or something.
Okay.
And we basically traveled across the entirety of Canada, almost. I mean, we did Montreal and Toronto and Winnipeg and Calgary and the Rocky Mountains, you know, places like Banff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Vancouver.
Yeah.
And we did it all in about a month.
Wow,
traveling
cool.
on Greyhound buses, the longest bus journey, maybe the longest bus journey I've ever done, going from Montreal to Winnipeg in one single bus journey, 33 hours on a bus.
Mate, that's like the one extreme of the country to the middle of the country.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long way.
Anyway, we've got to bring this back on track to Russia.
In Canada, Russia,
so
let's go.
Canada to Russia, from Russia to Canada, back to Russia again. let's finish Vadim's message. He said, says, have a wonderful time and good luck.
Good luck.
Best.
That's, you did that in the voice of the Liam Neeson bad guy.
Exactly.
When he's like, I'm going to find you. I'm going to...
I will track you down. I'll hunt you down and I will kill you. And the guy goes...
Good luck.
Yeah. I don't know why he says good luck. It's like he doesn't know what else to say. What do you say when someone says, I will hunt you down, I will find you, and I will kill you? What do you say? Thanks? You know, what are you supposed to say in response to that, you know?
Yeah.
The guy was probably like, God, I should have practiced more English at school. Good luck. I don't know. Okay, bye. I don't know. Anyway, so I wrote back to Vadim, this is a good idea. Thanks for sending it to me. I'm pretty sure I will get all the answers wrong because I don't have a clue. It could be embarrassing. Blah, 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 blah. I should do it on the podcast, but do you think that my... I was worried now, then, at this point. Do you think that my Russian listeners will be disappointed by my general lack of knowledge of the motherland? Is it the motherland or the fatherland?
So, I mean, we always say motherland, don't we? In
Russia,
in
though. It's Mother Russia, isn't it? It's the motherland.
Mother Russia.
I think so.
That's true. I didn't even think about
anyway,
that.
Anyway, and Vadim said, yeah, don't worry. You'll get them all wrong. But this is the point of this funny Russian citizenship test.
Yeah, it's basically for your Russian listeners.
Yeah, but other listeners, you know, and video viewers from other places, you know, feel free to send me your citizenship test from your countries too, which I will leave for a year and a half as well. But anyway. So here's an example question.
Go on.
Before we even begin. So September the 3rd in Russia is a good day to do what? We've got multiple choice.
Oh, you've got multiple choice. I love it. Come on.
So September the 3rd must be a special day in Russia. It's a good day to A, drink vodka from a balalaika. You know what a balalaika is?
I don't know what a balalaika is.
It's kind of a musical instrument.
Oh, okay.
It's a sort of, yeah, like a...
Okay, that sounds like a...
Stringed instrument.
That sounds like it's a possible answer.
I guess you could, a bit like a guitar, you could pour vodka into it and then
Yeah, that's...
Difficult.
Maybe. Maybe this is... They make a specific hole for... Anyway, next one.
Maybe like, and then it pours out. Maybe.
Yeah.
So that. B, crush wooden sleds with axes. A wooden sled, that's like a sledge that you would use to ride down the snowy mountain.
Yeah.
And why crush would they do that? Axes. Just smash up some wooden sledges with some axes.
Okay.
Sounds like the sort of random violence that you might do if you lived in the middle of a cold country and all
Maybe.
You had was vodka.
Yeah.
And,
go on.
And axes. C, turn a calendar upside down.
Okay.
Why would you turn a calendar up? Just, let's have fun. We turn calendar upside down. This is how we have a good time in Russia.
Now, you see, I've got to think about it from...
Crazy times.
I've got to think about it from his point of view, if I'm guessing, because I'm thinking, right, one of them's right, and he's got to make up two other answers,
yes,
right?
Three other answers, actually, because
there's another one.
Or, on the 3rd of September, do they hang winter boots out of the window?
Oh, you see.
It's that, isn't it?
I reckon it's that.
Why, though?
Because it's the beginning of winter. It's like the beginning of when it gets cold.
But why would you hang your winter boots out of the window when it begins to get cold? To just get the boots ready? Like, you have to say to the boots, okay, boots, it's going to start getting cold, so we're going to hang you out the window to get you ready.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the boots are like, but...
I like the idea of drinking vodka out of a
balalaika. You like the idea of drinking
how
vodka out of...
How big is a balalaika?
Well, how sort of like this big, maybe small guitar size. I think it's...
I think that one is false just because it's too stereotypical. Drinking vodka out of this Russian... No.
Yeah.
The sled's weird. Calendar, maybe, because it's like, maybe you turn the calendar upside down because it's the beginning of winter. I reckon it's got to do with the beginning of winter in the sense that, like, one of those is a true thing. And then he thought... Oh, what's something else that's similar to, like, winter? What could we do to signify the beginning of winter?
Yeah.
And then the other two are just mental.
The thing that makes more sense to me would be hanging your boots out of the window when the sun comes out, when the weather starts to get warm, to finally dry out those winter boots.
That's a good point.
Which are probably kind of a bit wet.
That's a good point.
For most of the winter, because you're getting snow on them. Turning the calendar upside down,
Let's do turning the calendar upside down.
Right. Well, hey, Vadim, where's the answer to this one? Oh, this is an example. And he says, I'm sure you have no idea what it's all about, but I think it's okay to not know about everything.
Oh,
yada, yada,
hold
yada.
Hold on. I've got to now Google it. September.
He has provided the answers.
Oh, he has. For that one.
But not for this one.
That's what I mean.
Come on.
3rd, Russia. Tradition. Right, here we go.
You know what? I need the internet, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, go on.
I think I do.
Get on the internet, cholele prod.
Okay, we can just edit this. Cholele with a T.
Yeah.
I can't find it. Oh, no.
TCH.
Yeah, got it.
You got it.
Yeah, and?
And in theory, now my phone will...
It'll give me the password.
In theory. Yeah, there we go. Share Wi-Fi password, Luke Thompson. Share.
Oh, yeah, and we're in.
How Russian song about 3rd of September became viral. Okay. On this day, Russian social medias... Other users send each other pics with burning rowan bushes and a grey-bearded man who promises to come and flip your calendar.
You're flipping the calendar.
Flipping the calendar. So what the hell are Russians celebrating? You won't find this holiday in any calendar, but pretty much every Russian knows about it. They call September 3rd Shufutninov Day. Traditionally, on this day, people flip the calendar, burn rowan bushes, remember their exes, and ask each other why. This all stems from the now cult song September 3rd about broken hearts in the fall, performed by supreme chansonnier Mikhail Shufutinsky.
I like the pronunciation, Paul.
All right. So it's got nothing to do with what we thought it was, but we guessed the right answer.
We got it right. I'm still not entirely sure why Russian people flip the calendar, but, you know.
It's because of a song. There we go.
Because of a song. That'll do. Okay.
Russia.
We got that right?
We got it right.
So in the quiz, we would get one star. Okay. Now, let's get started. Russian citizenship test for Luke Thompson. Thompson spelt wrong, Vadim.
Oh, come on.
At least he didn't write Pomson, which would have been even worse. But anyway, I'm going to let that slide, okay?
It's all right.
Now, the introduction to the test, I know people are thinking, get on with it. But all right, all in good time. Just relax, calm down. Please answer the following questions. You will get one star, because Russians do like stars,
okay,
as we know, for every correct answer. Count your correct answers to get your score at the end of the test.
Okay.
The decision on your Russian citizenship will be made and enforced immediately.
Okay.
Do not close the door. I don't know why he's written that. Maybe that means that the Russians...
It's like Gerard Depardieu.
Soldiers are going to come.
Maybe. The Red Army.
Yeah. And then he's written, good luck. A copyright bad guy from Taken.
Oh, so, there you go. So we weren't too far.
Okay, question number one. Are you ready, Paul?
Yes, let's do it.
This is the real test now, not just a demonstration. This is the real thing. Okay, we've 7 questions. Question one. What animals... he's written this in the Russian style. What animals we have in Russia should be what animals do we have in Russia. Sorry, Vadim, I'm correcting your English. But you're all right. You don't mind because you already made it to Canada. So, you know, who cares if your English is not perfect? It doesn't matter. What animals do we have in Russia instead of Tom and Jerry? So we should probably explain Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, the cartoon of a cat and a mouse. The cat's always chasing the mouse, never gets him. Yeah. They're like good friends, but they hate each other.
And they often, there's extreme violence involved in Tom and Jerry. It's a kid's cartoon from the 40s, 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
American cartoon, Hanna-Barbera.
Oh,
that's Amber Minogue.
I think that's Amber Minogue.
So Tom and Jerry, Tom is the cat, Jerry is the mouse. Tom chases Jerry around, tries to catch him, and Jerry does things like slams his head into a door, or squeezes him into a trumpet, you know, that sort of thing. And Tom, you know, or electrocutes him, or it's a bit like Itchy and Scratchy from The Simpsons. I've got to stop fiddling with this, right? I'm a fiddler. I'll put that down. Here's Amber is coming up the stairs. She's going to... Let's see if we can use the brains of Amber Minogue to pass this... We're going to have to explain the test to her now as well.
We'll explain it in 5 seconds.
Okay. We're recording. Is this all right?
Oh, sorry.
Look, it's the real Amber Minogue. There she is. Look. Look, it's her.
So far away.
That's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just are you? Do you want a moment to just acclimatise?
I'm ready. I'm in.
Do you want Amber's non-alcoholic ready. Beer?
Do you want some?
Awesome.
Brilliant.
Let me put them in the fridge.
Yes.
For the live.
I've got.
Because also, you didn't explain why we're recording this in my studio.
The reason we're recording this in Paul's studio is because
one is already cold.
Later on this evening, Amber and Paul, Amber and me will be guests on Paul's live stream. So that's why we've been invited to this lovely room, because later on, in about an hour and 15 minutes, we will be live on YouTube talking a load of old shite. Okay? Right, so everyone's just getting ready.
Do you want one of these now, or do you want one of the other ones?
Some of the,
I bought
three different types of non-alcoholic.
Sure. La la la, I'm going to edit this little bit out.
Have one of these, because there's three other ones.
Yes.
Right.
It's like I'm sorry, I'm into it.
Speak nice and close to it.
I said, it's like I'm psychic. I went to Monoprix the other day, and I saw...
The supermarket, and I saw
these, my favourite non-alcoholic beer... Brewdog, which is your favourite beer. And the last time I came on the live, I bought with me a non-alcoholic beer. And I was like, it's a tradition.
It is.
So I bought some, and now then you fancied some.
I did, because, you know, yeah, I can't be on Paul Taylor's live stream without beer, right? So non-alcoholic beer it is.
I'm on alcoholic just because the team down the stairs are drinking, so I drank with them.
You're the odd one out. I thought I would be the odd one out here. Like, oh no, I'm going to explain that I'm not drinking.
Right.
Right, anyway. So do you want to do the explaining?
Okay, do it.
Yeah,
what's the situation?
Russian situation. Russian...
citizenship test.
Russian citizenship test by a listener called Vadim.
Okay.
These are questions that he has come up with that only Russian people will know the answers to, but we've already had one of them, and it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Now,
we got it right, by the way.
We did get it right. So we were on the first official question of the test, and it is... I didn't even hear the end of the question.
It's designed to make us fail, by the way. That's fine. It's all good.
I'm there for that. Yeah. I like to fail.
Yeah, okay.
So what was the first question?
First question is, what animals do we have in Russia instead of Tom and Jerry?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was it.
Okay. So is it wolf and hare?
No.
No? Why not? You're very sure. Why?
Hare. I'm not feeling it.
Okay.
Wolf, yes. Hare,
okay,
no.
Well, let's...
Okay, keep going.
Bear and bee.
I'm feeling it. They like a bear in Russia.
But yes, it is. It is. It's 100% that. Tell you why, but
go
keep
on.
Going.
All right.
What are the rest?
I'm for Bear and Bee. Yeah.
What are the other ones?
This sounds like the name of a pub, doesn't it? The Bear and Bee.
And
do you want to fancy going down the Bear and the Bee? Bear and Bee for a pint. C is dog and cat.
Nah.
Standard. And D, elephant and mouse.
Nah. That's Disney.
Now, you're very clear that you think it's bear and bee, and you have a reason why.
I have you seen there's a cartoon on something, Amazon or Netflix, that Louise has watched a couple of times, and it's a Russian, it's called it's called Maya the Bee. No, hold on.
You're getting confused.
Yeah, there's a Maya the Bee, but there's also a Russian cartoon
with a bear,
with a big bear and a little girl,
right? I know the one. Is it Mishka or something?
Yeah, it is
something?
Mishka. That's exactly it, yeah. And there's a panda involved
as well.
But
that's not their equivalent of Tom and Jerry.
No, it's not, but I maybe they've got another cartoon with a bear. A bear makes
Wait
more sense.
Wait a minute. Your reasoning is that they've got one cartoon with a bear, then they've probably got another one.
Although I will say, bees are not very dexterous.
Well, in cartoons they can be, can't
they? Yeah.
What do you mean dexterous?
Well, like Tom and Jerry, like Jerry's... given it all that, you know, he's a sort of cunning little mouse and he outsmarts Tom. But a bee, it's kind of hard for them to...
They don't have much range in terms of the things they can do. They can fly a bit and sting, and what else can they do?
So, mate, because a hare could be... because I can feel the Russians... they're dark. It's a dark nation, the Russians. You know?
Because they're... yeah, so it's sort of like... yeah, when you think about Russia, you do imagine sort of, it's although there are some amazing, beautiful places there where the sun shines and it's all flowers and sunshine and wonderful things. But for some reason, you do imagine a sort of dark, cold
tundra.
Place, the Arctic tundra.
Well, most of it, I think, is that, apart from...
yeah, except for the places where everybody lives.
Yeah.
I'm
going to go bear and a bee.
You're going bear and bee.
Okay, I was feeling bear and bee, but to switch it up, I'm going to go wolf and hare.
I would imagine that a wolf and a wolf is probably a common animal in Russia.
And a hare.
And a hare as well. Listeners and viewers, if you don't know what a hare is, it's a bit like a rabbit, but it's a bit bigger, and they have longer legs, and they run very fast. And you probably find hares in the Arctic. And other regions. I mean, they're in England and France. They're quite common animals.
So
well, I don't know. I feel like wolf and hare is the one I would go for. as well. So the answer is Wolf and Hare.
Oh.
And it says, from the new Pogodi, which means, well, just you wait. That's the name of the series. From this animated series from 1969 to 1986, in the 2014 All-Russian poll, well, just you wait, won as the people's favorite cartoon or animated series of all time. The series follows the comical adventures of Wolf trying to catch and presumably eat hare. Mm. The series' most common line is the eponymous Nu Pogodi, which you should pronounce because you're good at pronouncing things in other languages.
Not Russian.
Nu Pogodi.
You should have heard him say a few words in Russian earlier on. It's very convincing.
I had a good friend, as I've said like 25 times on the show.
Yes.
That was Russian when I was 16, and he taught me how to say "Привет, меня зовут Пол, как дела?"
And what does that mean?
That means "Hello, my name is Paul. How are you?"
As far as you know,
yeah.
It's so funny because today
maybe it doesn't. Hi, I'm Paul. I'm a wanker. The Russians are all laughing at you.
Today, me and Sarah were trying to do some writing.
Yes,
and we were kind of, but we're doing this thing, Luke, which I needed to talk to you about, actually. It's a children's project, which I had wanted to do with you, but then you brushed me off so many times.
Well,
I do with Sarah. No, you don't have time.
Yeah.
But actually, we're trying to do something, and we're trying to do, like, a bilingual thing. But because we speak French and English, we're like, it makes sense to us. But would it make sense if the other language we couldn't speak?
So you're doing a project with Sarah to create some children's stories,
and we're using French and English.
In the two, like using French and English, your target market will be France. But the French parents will say, no, I don't want them to speak any French. We want them to speak only English, surely.
Well, you know, that's a debate that we can talk about at a later date.
Yes,
but
it is.
Essentially, what we were trying to do is, because we understand both French and English, we're like, how does it sound to someone that can't understand the language? So we put it into this app. And we made it speak in Russian. So all the English bits, we put it in Russian. And so we had a story about a little spider. Spider is a really hard word. It's just like, it's just a non-word. It's so small in Russian. We couldn't understand it. And it was like raining, docha, docha, or something like this. And it was really amazing hearing it in Russian.
Wow, it's a beautiful language. Like all languages are all beautiful, I think. Well, some of them aren't.
I don't know.
Mm.
Well, what would define beautiful?
Well, I mean, when you hear a language being spoken by the people who speak it, right?
Yeah.
Spoken properly, then all languages have got music to them, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very diplomatic of you.
No, I believe true. It. Yeah,
okay.
No, I'm serious.
All right.
I find that I love hearing other languages being spoken. Depends on the context, of course. If I'm on a bus and it's being shouted into my ear, then no. But, you know, if it's being spoken nicely in a story about a spider, for example, that's not bad.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm. I'm going to find spider in Russian. It's
all right. So we found a...
Okay. Found the first one.
So there you go. There you go. Anyway, let's go move on to question two. What animal does every Russian see on the streets every day? What animal
is it like an emblem of Russia?
Probably. An eagle. Go on,
an eagle, isn't it, for emblems of countries. Is it a giraffe? Large, long neck. I think people know what a giraffe is.
I think they know what a giraffe is.
You never know. Someone's like, oh, what? B, a bear. They're just roaming freely in the streets, aren't they, bears? Like, stop. Oh, waiting for the bus. Oh, excuse me. Oh, it's a bear. Oh, sorry. Another bear. Oh, and another one.
Isn't that their symbol? Like, Scotland is a unicorn and England is a lion and... Aren't Russians bears?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Bears certainly are a big feature of Russian culture. Like, for example, Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
Which is my reference point for Russian things. The character Zangief, that's how we say it in English, he's got scars all over his body. You know who I mean?
No.
Big wrestler guy from a computer game, a Japanese computer game.
Let me Google it.
With a big beard.
We can bring it up on the screen.
He's a fantastic character. He does
How do you spell his name?
Zangief.
E-F.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's computer game characters will know. Computer game characters, computer game fans.
Okay.
video game fans will know Zangief.
And
he's got these scars all over his body. He got them from wrestling with bears.
I see. Okay.
You see, this is how tough he is. So is it a giraffe? Is it B, a bear? Is it C, a lynx, which is a kind of a wild cat? Or is it D, a gazelle, which is unlikely because gazelles are pretty far from...
What was the first one?
A giraffe.
Oh, giraffe was the first one. Okay.
Both giraffe and gazelle, these are animals that you would find... On the Serengeti Plain, narrated by David Attenborough. And here, on the Serengeti... You know how he speaks. I'm not going to carry on with the impression.
I mean, you were burnt by bear the first time, Paul.
When you picture the stereotypical, like, Russian during winter, they're wearing a hat that's made out of a bear. They've got, like, the bear, you know, like...
Bear skin.
There's bear stuff going on.
There's bear stuff going on, blood. They got bears in Russia.
I'm going to...
Spam. I would say it's a bear. Come on. But I've probably an emblem. I don't think it's that just there are
bears. But they see every day. What was the question? Every day on the street?
On the street. Like,
what animal does every Russian see on the streets every day?
It must be some sort of emblem on like signs or the municipality or something.
Yeah.
I'm feeling...
Just like the cock in France.
Or the ship for Paris.
A ship?
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't seen a ship, have I?
Well, when you see the fluctuous, whatever the Latin Paris thing is, art megit, whatever the thing is.
Yeah, that one.
Right. I have no idea what you're talking about.
If you go to any public school or anything from the
blue, the white,
exactly.
and the ship is
the
white in the
ship
middle.
Is the symbol of Paris.
I know.
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
What's the answer?
So the answer is a gazelle.
Gazelle.
A gazelle. Apparently, the gazelle is a series of light commercial vehicles, pickup trucks, vans, and minibuses made by Russian car manufacturer GAZ or GAZ. Until now, it's actively used in all Russian cities as a marshrutka, shuttle, or public bus.
Yeah, that was a good trick
little
question.
Little trick question there, huh?
Yeah, there
very
you go.
Good. Very clever. And there's a picture of a Russian minibus here.
There we go.
And it's called a gazelle.
Yeah, okay.
A staple of Russian everyday life.
Fair enough.
Isn't gazelle in French a slang for, like, ladies?
Gazelle.
Les gazelles.
Maybe. I don't know. I've not heard that before.
I think it might be a bit old, but I'm pretty sure I remember thinking gazelles. I can get behind that.
All right, then.
Gazelle. No?
I haven't heard that before, but I can imagine that the gazelle could be an old Parisian slang for a sexy lady.
So if you just heard the gling.
Yeah,
I did hear that bling.
It just means it's 1 hour until happy hour
until
live.
Showtime.
All right, good.
All right, question three. We've done question three.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah.
Well, let's give it to Amber then.
Question three is September the 3rd in Russia is a good day to A, drink vodka from a balalaika.
I know what it is.
B, crush wooden sleds with axes. Or C, turn a calendar upside down. Or D, hang your winter boots out of the window.
Winter boots out the window.
Really? Reason?
They don't need an excuse to drink vodka. Why would they ruin a balalaika?
They're probably designed to hold vodka, though, aren't they? Like most objects
possibly,
in Russia.
Possibly. Crushing wooden sleds with axes. I feel that they need their sleds. And again, they've got plenty of wood, those Russians. Turn calendar upside down. It's a possibility because it feels really random. Hanging the winter boots out the window. It feels like it could be something festive. Maybe it's because I'm thinking Christmas. Boots hanging.
Like nice decorative boots. Look, have you put your boots out the window yet?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be something awful which happens should that be the right answer. But
so it's the answer is in fact C, turn the calendar upside down,
right?
And it's because of a famous Russian song, and the chorus contains these lines: I'll turn the calendar upside down and there will be the 3rd of September again. And he meant
yesterday.
I'll turn
back time.
It's like yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away, and I'll just turn the calendar upside down. Okay, well, let's just keep on trucking here. Question number four. What do Russians expecting the lobster to do on the... Huh?
What do Russians expect lobsters to do on top of a mountain?
Right, what do Russians expect a lobster to do, or lobsters to do, on the top of a mountain? So if you put a lobster on the top of a mountain, what would Russian people expect it to do?
Drink vodka.
Surely.
Out of the instrument.
Out of a balalaika. Out of a balalaika.
With a bear involved somehow.
And a sled that it can slide down.
Right, which you then smash to pieces
at the bottom
in a nihilistic fashion at the end.
What are the potentials?
Would the lobster dance on top of the mountain? Would it go to war on the top of the mountain? Would it pray on the top of the mountain? Or would it whistle? That's whistling, just for those people who don't know. You know, it's the sort of thing you need to do on Luke's English podcast.
I could feel it praying.
Yeah?
It's got those big claws.
Be quite a...
Quite a powerful prayer.
Yeah, that's right.
Madonna?
Good at grabbing and, yeah, like a prayer.
Like a prayer. I'm going to go
like
pray.
Like a lobster.
Praying to get down that mountain.
With those big claws, would be quite good for praying. Paul, Taylor...
Don't they whistle?
Paul Taylor comedy?
As opposed to the other Paul that's on the show right now. what was the first one?
Dance. Would it dance on the top of the mountain?
Yeah, I'm going to say dance.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
Russians like dancing.
Yeah.
Do they?
Sticking the legs out. That one.
Yeah. Is
the
name?
It's the Russian sticky out dance.
The Russian legs, sticking
Rasputin.
The legs.
Have you watched TikTok? The Rasputin TikTok.
No.
Oh,
it's all over. It's just people, like, you know the Rasputin song, the Boney M.
Rasputin.
Oh, yeah.
Russian king. I love that song. It's amazing.
Amazing. Well, it's high energy, and there's lots of sort of like young, healthy men who are dancing around to it, doing all the Russian jumping.
What, doing the thing where you fold your arms and you go really low and kick your legs out and spin shut Paul Taylor's desk? That one.
That one, yeah. That one. Yeah.
I'm going to go with dancing.
Dance.
Come on, it's dancing then. Yeah. The answer is D, whistle. Okay.
Oh,
how many have we got? We've only got one right so far, am I
which
right?
Is the calendar.
No, we've got hare and wolf. We got
oh, you
right
both got
well.
Hare and wolf.
Yeah, so.
Me and you got the calendar.
So we got two stars so far. Whistle. When a lobster whistles on the top of a mountain is a Russian idiom. In fact, it's an adinaton. A figure of speech so hyperbolic that it describes an impossibility. This is clear. The implication of such a phrase...
Like when pigs could fly, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Something so ridiculous and exaggerated that it means it would be impossible.
When lobsters on a mountain whistle.
When what lobsters dance on the mountain, yeah, like, of course... So that would be something like, are you going to go straight into the episode, Luke, without an introduction? Yes, I think I will this time. Yeah, and lobsters will dance on the mountain.
No, whistle.
Yep, and whistle on the mountain.
Mm.
Okay. The implication of such a phrase is that the circumstances in question will never occur.
Yes.
And he said, the pigs will fly when a lobster whistles on the top of a mountain. Which
or
is
when
quite...
chickens will have teeth.
Yeah, chickens will have teeth. That's the French one.
And he's added a nice picture of a lobster whistling, I suppose, on the top of a mountain.
A silhouette of a lobster.
Silhouette of a whistling lobster in a whistling pose like that. That's not how anyone ever whistles, but anyway. Sometimes.
That's how lobsters whistle.
Oh, yeah. If a lobster whistled on top of a mountain, it would do it like that.
Okay.
Question five. What French name... Might get this one. What French name is most often mentioned on New Year's Eve in Russia? What French name is most often mentioned on New Year's Eve in Russia? Is it A, Jean-Paul?
Mm-hmm.
B, Olivier? C, Pierre? Or D, Serge? Serge. How do you say Serge?
Serge.
Serge. So, I'll say it in an English accent. Jean-Paul, Olivier, Pierre, or Serge?
On New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve.
What's special about New Year's? What saint is that?
It's Saint Sylvester, which is thought we were going to go with that one.
Saint Sylvester.
La Saint Sylvester.
But they've got... And Peter is, what, Pietro or something like that in Russian? Because everyone's got a Peter.
How do you say Saint Petersburg in Russian?
I don't know. I'm for some reason, the French version is coming into my head. I wonder why. Maybe because I live in France.
All right. Jean-Paul.
You have to go with Jean-Paul.
Why Jean... Well, because it's... No, it's Jean-Pierre.
Jean-Pierre. Well, so it's Jean-Paul, Pierre.
Jean-Paul, Olivier. Pierre. Jean-Paul, Olivier, Pierre, Serge.
I have Serge for some reason in my mind.
Okay.
I don't know why.
No, because all the, you know, all that partying would certainly cause a surge of electricity across the country, wouldn't it?
Oh, Russian joke 2.0.
Come on, Amber, come on.
It's amazing. I was just letting it sink
just
in.
Just relax. Just enjoy the ridiculousness.
No, I've been a very bad punch appreciator recently.
Really?
Any jokery. I was at a gig the other day and someone said, I'm thinking about this joke, and he told it to me, and I was like, and he told me the punchline. I was like, And then I just ignored him. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't think it works that well.
Yeah, don't tell puns to Amber. She doesn't appreciate them.
I'm going to go with Pierre because I'm feeling Pierre.
You're feeling Pierre. Okay. Is Pierre okay with that?
He loves it.
What's the word for it? Consent.
Definitely.
Okay, it's Olivier.
What?
Fucking yeah. Why?
Olivier salad.
Olivier salad?
Salat Olivier is a traditional salad dish in Russian cuisine, which is also popular in other post-Soviet countries. It's usually made with diced boiled potatoes, carrots, brined dill pickles, green peas, eggs, onions, diced boiled chicken or bologna sausage pepper and mustard added to enhance flavour, dressed with mayonnaise. Only those things.
Do you know they call that in Spanish?
I don't know.
A Russian salad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ensalada rusa is what they call it in Spanish, yes.
Really?
I have seen that. That is a Russian salad.
It's the potatoes that gave it away in the pickle. I was like, Russian salad. So amazing. They call it an Olivier salad.
It's funny that some things like that, like in the way the French call leaving without saying goodbye is an English exit, but we call it a French exit.
Do we not call it an Irish exit?
It can also be called an Irish exit.
I thought we called it an Irish exit.
French exit, as far as I had heard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like anything, especially between the French and the English, anything which is sort of rubbish, the French call it English and we call it French.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Pepe the Pew, whatever his name is, in the cartoon. He's French for us.
For everyone.
For everyone.
For everyone.
For everyone.
It's just for the French,
he's Italian.
For the French, he's Italian. The only country that is more French than the French.
No, it's everyone agrees the French, you know, smell. They're like, who would a skunk beat French? Everyone's like, yeah, we're all on the same page. And France's like, no, surely not.
It's a stereotype about the French, isn't it? They smell of garlic. But I've never known
that. No, they smell.
French people don't smell, as far as I
mean.
Of the
mouth a little bit.
Have
because
you taken of the
metro? Because of the cigarettes and the coffee.
Yeah,
People's breath smells like shit here compared to other countries.
Okay.
Their body odour isn't an issue, which is kind of
it's the misconception,
isn't
it?
That they don't wash.
They smell of garlic for some reason.
Yeah, they don't wash and that's why they smell. But I don't think that it's ironic because there's more perfume brands in France than any other country. Maybe that's because they do smell.
But that's it.
Why do they need the perfume?
Maybe,
it's called the French douche, you know, the French shower. It's just perfume. But I think it comes from, historically speaking, that people didn't wash and they did use perfume.
What's ironic is in England, the plumbing is so terrible, you'd think the English people would wash less than the French.
They may very well do.
But maybe we don't smell. Maybe we don't sweat as much because it's colder.
We're not wearing a coat.
Maybe we're just better. I'm joking.
I doubt that.
Of course. I doubt it. I doubt it too, especially these days.
Olivia, okay, Russian salad.
Okay, he goes on and on. He goes on, but I think that's probably enough that basically, we got it. It's the name of the salad. And there's a picture of it.
Yep.
Okay. Question 6. What tree do Russians always want to hug when they feel sad? So if a Russian person is sad, they want to hug a tree. Mm. Which tree? Oh, God, we can see the answer. Don't look.
Oh, I didn't see
it. I saw the answer, so this is for you guys, all right?
Okay.
I've seen the answer. So which tree do Russians always want to hug when they feel sad? Is it A, the larch? Is it B, the pine tree? C, birch? Or D, baobab?
Is baobab a Russian tree? What is a baobab?
I'm pretty sure it's not a Russian tree.
It sounds too exotic to be Russian.
How would you spell baobab?
No one wants to.
B-A-O-B-A-B.
No one wants to hug a pine tree.
Looking it up. Baobab
it's
tree.
Africa, right?
Oh, it's
right?
Those tall ones from Madagascar.
Are they in Madagascan?
I don't know.
Or are they just...
I might be making that completely up. Bawa tree is a strange-looking tree that grows in Africa and Australia.
Amazing that they grow both in Africa and Australia.
Yeah, but I feel like that's from the film Madagascar. Like they're all anyway. Okay, I would say that one almost because like you're feeling sad. It looks like a giant.
The thing about the baobab, like can we describe it?
Can you hug that?
Well, it's got one. Look, we need to describe it for the
audio. It's a massive trunk that looks like a penis.
Wow, Paul.
I mean, you can't.
I thought it looked like
I'm looking at you
myself.
In a whole new way.
Look at that.
Well, it looks more like a tree trunk than a penis, I would say.
Anyway.
Because when I look at an object, when I look at a tree, I see a tree. I don't see a cock. Unlike some
but
people.
Look at it. It looks like the skin. I mean, look at it.
I know what you're saying.
Come on.
I know what you're saying.
I mean, this one does not.
Well, it depends on the person.
Anyway, it's a very tree with a very, very long trunk. And then just a bit of a few branches at the top.
By the way, can the video viewers see what we're seeing right now?
No, they can't.
Okay, so they're just watching three people look at the internet.
Screen. Yeah, I mean, I can. Okay. I can organise that if I hit screen share. There we go. Now they can. Never mind.
I can add a picture of a baobab tree, and I won't. I'll be very careful to make sure it is a baobab tree and not a picture of a penis, because you never know what you're going to get on an image search. But I'll.
Okay, so what birch? I don't know what a birch tree looks like.
Birch is probably got like a silvery bark on it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with birch because it's kind of silvery.
It's a nice tree, the birch. Very useful when camping.
Not sure it's very huggable though.
What's the other one?
So larch, which is another very tall tree. The larch makes me think of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Right, I'm going to go with the baobab, which sounds like a Korean dish.
Mm.
It does, doesn't it?
Are we getting baobab after this? Before the life?
I'd love a baobab, actually, but yeah, with a chicken one with an egg on the top. okay, so you're going for the baobab just because you like the name, and
yeah,
it looks like a penis.
Like something you'd want to hug.
Yeah, you mean a penis. What are you trying to say, Paul?
I like hugging penis-looking things.
He likes hugging penises. I'm going birch.
You're going birch, are you? Any reason why? Because
silvery,
and yeah, okay, birch is the answer.
Oh, come on! I'm so bad at
now,
this game.
If you got this one wrong, there's no way you can claim Russian citizenship because apparently the birch is considered to be the tree of Russian nationality somehow.
Shit.
While traveling, this is a quote, while traveling for a long time abroad, a Russian often misses his native birches to hold a birch tree tight and cry. That's the only thing a Russian wants to do in a melancholic mood and presumably drink vodka.
Out of a balalaika.
Out of a balalaika with a bear.
Balalaika! Oh, I like the word. Baobab.
Balalaika.
Balalaika.
Birch.
According to multiple folk proverbs and beliefs, ancient pagan Slavs considered hugging a birch tree as a sign of good luck. Birches were compared to humans. Its thin trunk was frequently associated with a thin body of a young lady.
Ew. Liking that less.
Modern Russians would never confess they hug birch trees on a daily basis. Only traditional Russians. Mm. Modern Russians are like, no, 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 no.
I don't hug birches. No. But aren't Russians always melancholy?
Yeah, they are in the plays, aren't they? Russian plays.
Very
Russian
theatre. So.
A lot of, melancholic stuff. Okay, moving on. There we can see a picture of Spider-Man in traditional Russian clothing, hugging a birch tree, a very cute little girl in traditional Russian outfit, hugging a birch tree. How cute.
Hold on. What's the right way to drink vodka in Russia? Out of a balalaika.
This is question 7, the final question in the Russian citizenship quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Test. Mm. Test. Question 7, what is the right way to drink vodka in Russia? Is there a wrong way?
Surely not.
As long as you're drinking it.
Just as soon as possible, as often as possible.
Okay. A, only for the reason.
I think it means for a reason.
Only for a reason and with lots of food. Well, this is obviously not correct.
True. Yeah.
No. Impossible.
Because you don't drink vodka for a specific reason with food.
Well, it depends what the reasons are. Monday.
Well... I suppose the reason, Monday. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or because, you know, there's vodka on the table.
Because there's vodka.
Yeah. B, looking into each other's eyes and shouting Nazdrovye.
Yeah, that means cheers.
That's sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty likely to me that there's going to be a lot of heavy eye contact and shouting.
That's the reason. Hold on. What is the right way to drink? Yeah, it's definitely
the right
that way.
Looking into each other's eyes and shouting. Nazdrovye.
Yeah.
And C, in small sips from a large glass.
No.
It doesn't sound right.
No. Like a large glass.
Like a pint glass with No.
Absolutely not. And D, no matter how, it just has to be drunk.
Oh.
So it doesn't matter how it's done, it just has to be drunk, yeah, which is our first response.
That does feel a little bit mean.
It does, a bit.
Implying that they're terrible alcoholics. Although, recently, I did read something that I think England is the sort of third most alcoholic country.
Yeah, but this is always... You know, we've talked about this before, where it's like, which country is the most drinks the most? And every country drinks the most.
Yeah.
Because, like, England, we drink beer. Scotland, they drink, whiskey. And so they do in Ireland as well.
It's like, which city's the most metropolitan? All of them. Yeah. Everyone's like, everyone from New York's like, oh, we've got the most international. Fuck off. London. Oh, yeah, we've got the most. Shut up. Montreal. Yeah, we're the most international. So it's the same thing.
Name a country they've got their drinking traditions, except maybe the ones where
except Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, exactly. As we say. But,
and anything in the Middle East.
I'm sure there's booze to be found over there.
Oh, there definitely is. But you just have to look for it.
You have to just talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So is it... The D, doesn't matter how you do it, just has to be drunk, is a bit mean because there is a culture to it.
Let's go B.
Yeah, let's go the
eyes. It's got to be B. Nazdrovye. The answer is fuck off.
Really? What?
It says A, only for a reason and with lots of food.
What? Is this responsible drinking?
Okay. Well, most Russians never drink without a reason.
Yeah, but then how? What are those reasons?
Monday.
As we said, Monday, or there is vodka, I need some vodka now, please.
I think he means an event, an occasion, a reason.
Okay. Most Russians never drink without a reason. A birthday, a wedding, a funeral, a national holiday.
Monday.
These are all appropriate reasons to drink vodka. So there we are, you know, being very...
It's kind of like champagne, I think, where you don't just drink champagne. Like, we're drinking beer. They obviously drink beer over there. It's not like they don't drink beer or wine, I guess, on normal thing, like normal occasions. But if it's a special occasion, you get the vodka out. You don't get the Smirnoff out because that's shit, you know.
Yeah.
You get decent, good vodka.
Right.
In the same way that if you go, like in France, you get the decent wine out for a decent occasion, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fair enough.
However, it doesn't need to be so pretentious. You can always make up a good reason for drinking.
Ah.
Aha.
It's Monday.
But the important thing is that you should always have one. Okay. Okay. You've always got to drink to something.
Yeah. Well, this is sounding like those reasons are quite flimsy.
Yeah. Yeah. But there has to be a reason. There has to be maybe a justification is maybe the thing. Before you begin drinking, make sure you have something to eat. In Russia, we call it zakuska. Which literally means a snack, but it isn't that simple. It's a bit like in England, you can't have a pint without a packet of crisps.
Or some pork scratchings.
Something like that. Peanuts, dry roasted peanuts.
It's not that. It's more like you had pints and then you realise you could have dinner or you could have more pints. And so you're like, dinner is now crisps or pork scratchings.
Yeah, or you just get a kebab on the way home.
Exactly. You eat afterwards. You eat at 3 a.m.
Mm.
Oh, God. Shall I finish reading that? I feel like you put some time into it.
Mm-hmm.
Time which is now being transferred to us and them. But it's okay. Its history goes back to the traditional Russian ritual of greeting important guests with bread and salt, and in most cases, an alcoholic drink. Other traditional Russian zakuska is cold cuts, that's bits of meat, I suppose, cured fish, mixed salad, meat jelly, which sounds appealing. And they say English food's got a bad reputation. Various pickled vegetables, such as tomatoes, cucumbers, sauerkraut, pickled mushrooms, open sandwiches, and bread. And the fact is, you should never drink vodka without eating immediately something afterwards. And here is a fact. Russians never looking into each other's eyes while drinking.
Oh.
It would be considered very strange and weird if you don't look into each other's eyes.
Okay, so them coming here to France must be weird.
And they will never shout, Nazdrovye. They will never shout it. Never, says Vadim. I wonder how many... I mean, this has not been fact-checked by anyone, and we're just taking Vadim's word for it, as if he's an expert on Russian culture. I wonder if how many Russians will be jumping, piling into the comments section, saying, we shout it all the time, especially where I'm from. I don't know. So, well, Russian listeners, you can confirm or deny. Yes.
That never... Well, no, because it is interesting, like, the looking in the eyes, like, they're obsessed with it in France. Like, you've got to look in eyes. You know, traditions around drinking. But it's like, wasn't there the whole thing about how Russians are not very smiley? And, you know, when people went there for the Winter Olympics and they were like, people of Russia, smile, Adele, foreign friends.
Yes.
Because we consider it really important, but it's not as... You know, there's those subtle but important cultural...
I've had that Russian students in my lessons, where in lessons I'm, you know, I tend to smile quite a lot, because I like to enjoy my life. And so I'm smiling, and I've had a number of times Russian people just sort of stopping and saying, you like to smile a lot, don't you? Like that. Like, it's really a notable thing.
Well, because they only smile. That's the same answer for when is it correct to smile.
There's it has to be a reason.
Has to be a reason to
celebrate.
Well,
we smile for a reason too, because...
We smile the whole time, because we're awkward. And we're trying to, like...
Yeah, but that's a reason.
...paper over that awkwardness with a smile.
But that's a reason, though, isn't it? It's weaponising a smile, maybe.
There was this sketch about someone saying how the reason we don't kill each other is because we can smile, and, like, saying if animals could smile, it would be a lot easier. Like, if you could see, like, a lion looking over at a gazelle, and the gazelle's just
if the
like...
the gazelle's like, all right, mate.
going on?
Or just like, oh, here we are in the Serengeti. Oh, it's quite awkward, isn't it? Oh, lovely grass, isn't it? and the lion's like, yeah, all right, fine. Yeah, okay, it just would be too awkward. The animals wouldn't kill each other.
Maybe it'd be awkward. You know, we communicate. There's a lot of communication in... You know, eye contact and smiling.
Yes.
And when you meet someone different, like a different culture who doesn't smile or use eye contact in the same way, it can be very destabilizing.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Northern countries are, you get my wife, when she went to Denmark, she was just like, yeah, people just seem very not smiley and very,
very dour.
I think they don't have a word for please in Danish as well.
Oh, they do. Don't you ever watch any of the true crime?
No.
Please find out who murdered my son.
But I think they've got no word for thank you, or maybe it's
no,
please.
No, I think it's please. Oh, where it's like please. When it's like, you know, if you're in a restaurant, you're like, I'd like a beer, please. We say that in English, in French, like, ah, oh, une bière, s'il vous plaît. They're just like, I'd like a beer, because it's a waste of time saying please, because obviously you are saying please anyway.
Yes.
It's just like, this is what my wife has said. I don't know if it's true or not. She might be talking shit.
I do wonder what it must be like if you are from Russia, or, you know, a country in that kind of region, and you come to a place where people smile a lot more. Mm. We must look like such stupid smiling idiots. Just like, just smiling all the time. Like everything's great.
But then, you've been to Australia?
I have.
Yeah.
So friendly.
Yeah.
It's destabilizing. Like, you go to a shop and they ask you, but they do it with this intention. Like, they ask you a question like, how are you, or how are you going, or something like this. But in this way that it's like, are you actually asking me that?
Are you an idiot or what?
They engage in this much more friendly way, which you don't know what to do with.
Like,
yeah, good day, mate. How are you going? You going all right, mate?
How are you going, my boss? I don't know. What are you asking me?
How's it going? How's what going? Going where? That's none of your business.
I just got here off the plane. I'm not going anywhere.
But please is interesting. Like, we say it at home, you know, in your family. And I teach, you know, my son to say please. Like, he'll want something. I'll be like, you want some water, please? But then there are other cultures, and I can't remember which don't use please in families because they consider it unnecessary, like overly polite.
Right.
In the way that, like, some French posh families might voo at home. You know, they think, like, you don't say please at home with your family. Like, we know we care for each other and love each other.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
It is very interesting stuff. Now, I'm just counting our score.
Oh, God.
The lobster we got wrong. The French name mentioned in Russia every New Year we got wrong. We didn't realise the Olivier salad. the Russians want to hug. Well, you did say the birch.
I got the birch.
We're having that.
Yeah.
That's three. And then there was the right way to drink vodka, which we got wrong.
But we wanted to get... No, we didn't want to even get right. We were going to say they just drink it all the time or they look into each other's
eyes. Yeah, we weren't close to
tricky
that.
Tricky Russian quiz. Tricky Russian test.
It's a good one.
We got three stars, so let's see what that means. So he has worked it out. Two to four stars. It says, well, you will get your citizenship one day, but first you have to ask the lobster to get to the mountain and do some action. Is he still waiting for a gazelle? Right. Meaning, yeah, is he still waiting for that minibus to pick him up, to take him to the mountain? So, okay, we're not quite there yet, so no. Sorry. No, you're not allowed in at this stage.
I mean, we're not allowed in anyway because of COVID, but...
Yeah,
we're not allowed in.
Oh,
we wouldn't be allowed to stay. Let's say that much.
You got, did you get a booster?
I got my third vaccine.
Booster jab. How old are you? 65.
What? I know people.
No, they've opened it to everyone now, haven't they?
I know people.
No, you know people.
You know
a pharmacist, don't you?
I know a nurse.
Oh, you do. So you had your booster jab, your third COVID injection.
Yeah.
And so has your Wi-Fi connectivity gone up since
so
then?
Oh, so much better.
She's on 6G now.
Yeah.
6G. Yeah. I didn't even need to use a GPS to find my way here.
Did you feel the microchip going in?
I feel it coursing around my body.
Yes, right.
Yes, it's great.
Okay. And so any side effects? No, talking seriously now.
No, my arm hurts a bit, but no.
Did you get it today? Okay.
Yesterday,
yeah. Technically I got my third as well, but it was the second.
Because
I got COVID.
Yes.
And then I only needed one injection according to the French.
Because COVID already gave you that first.
Yeah, and then, but because when I was going to the UK, it doesn't matter if you've had COVID or not, if you don't have two jabs, you are considered unvaccinated.
Right.
Turns out they don't give a fuck, but I had another jab just in case anyway. My arm was dead the next day.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's it, just a painful arm,
yeah,
both of you.
Painful
so no
arm,
other
it.
No other sort of things. Because I had an AstraZeneca, and then my second one, I had a Pfizer.
Okay.
After the AstraZeneca, I felt a bit under the weather. I felt poorly, a bit flu-y.
Yeah. When I got COVID, I was dead.
What? Like it was, really?
Yeah.
Actually
it was,
dead?
Yeah,
like
mate.
Medically dead?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, mate. No, it was rough. Like, I had it really badly, and then, so the two injections, my arm hurt, but...
Yeah, your immune system had already sort of...
In theory.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Okay, well, there you go, everybody. We failed to become Russian citizens.
Such a
no, you, no big surprise.
Have you been to Russia?
I've never been to Russia, but I've been invited on numerous occasions by email.
I bet you have.
Lots of people
not
want me to go to...
There.
Oh, no. You did it!
Sorry, Amber, I don't get that joke.
Amber did the Russian joke. That's the first time that's ever happened. You know what? I actually, a while ago, when I had more time, I actually managed to go through so many old episodes and find all the moments when the Russian joke was mentioned.
How did you
do that?
That
was easier than expected, because it's pretty much only in the Amber and Paul episodes.
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough.
And
you just listen to them at double the speed.
Yeah, I just like skipped through really quickly and then found the Russian joke bits, and I've extracted all of the references as many as I can. And there's at least an hour of... I'm going to do a Russian...
You're going to do a compilation.
I'm going to do a Russian joke supercut episode of Luke's English Podcast at some point. So that's
if those of you are watching or listening don't know what the Russian joke is, then you're just going to have to go back
and listen. Just going to have to go onto YouTube and Google Teacher Luke Russian joke, and that will explain it.
But or not.
The annoying thing is that I definitely haven't found all of the references. And being sort of the completist that I am, I really want to get all of them, but I can't. There's not enough time in my life to spend doing that.
Ask the Lepsters for help.
I could ask the Lepsters for help. Yes.
I don't want to.
Well, yeah, because that's going to generate
a lot more
work and emails and so on.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to use what I've got and create a Russian joke supercut, and that should be interesting.
Oh, it's such a shame we don't have the original like video of.
I wish that we'd recorded the moment. In the room when it actually happened. You know, people misunderstand it. Like people, obviously, people misunderstand it, but they continue to misunderstand the. I don't know, what is it now, a meme or something? I don't know. But like, you know, my brother, like, you know, it hardly ever comes up with anyone else except you two. But then I was talking about designs because I asked my listeners to send in some designs for my merch store. And there were a couple that referenced the Russian joke. And my brother was like, well, it's not a very good joke. And I was like, do you even know... You know, and he didn't know that I told him the story, and he was like, "Oh, actually, that's pretty good, actually. Yeah, well done." It's like, "Yeah, you see."
It was a brilliant joke
at the time. That's the whole thing. It's all about the context. Context is everything.
Didn't I send you someone else making that joke? Like,
yeah, you found it in a TV show or something. It's not like I invented the fact that the word Russian sounds a bit like the word rushing. He says, looking at the camera. Somewhere. That's it. That's the Russian joke. Russian sounds like rushing. That's it. I'm out.
Okay.
Can someone else finish the episode, please?
Yeah. Well, we didn't manage to be Russian.
No,
you finished it well. We weren't rushing to get to be Russian.
We weren't rushing. We weren't in a hurry to pass that test, let's say. It's been how long now?
An hour and 10 minutes.
Hour and 10 minutes. I think that's perfect. Amber and Paul episode length. That's absolutely standard. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you both of you for taking part. It's been fun. It's been emotional. I will speak to everyone on the podcast again soon. But for now, I'm probably going to do an outro.
Say thank you to Vadim. Ending.
Thank you to Vadim for sending that very tricky test. That was great, and I'm glad that we finally did it. But
And hug some birch trees.
Go and hug a birch tree and drink vodka out of a balalaika with a bear and a lobster.
A whistling lobster.
And a gazelle.
Okay. Bye. Bye, everyone. Bye. 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 Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.